That sounded like a sovereign grace song. We couldn't come to where he was. We couldn't. I mean, Jesus said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. He has to come to us. If you ever came to Jesus, it's because he first came to you. All right. And I tell you what, listen to this. The anchor holds. Amen. I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea. Yes, I have. By faith alone, and sight unknown, and yet his eyes, Barbara, his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Yes, it does. I've had visions, and I've had many dreams. I've even held them in my hands. But I never knew that they would slip right through, like they were only grains of sand. Now I've been young, oh, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty these eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through all the storms of my life.
That's right.
But that's where God proved his love for me. The anchor holds, Jesus, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. 'Cause the anchor holds in spite of the storm.
Well, we continue in our series on the amazing love, the amazing love of God, based on one verse, which is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I think in this one verse, we see the presentation of the gospel in its entirety. Now, I've heard it said that familiarity with a thing sometimes breeds contempt. And not that the scripture is contemptible, it certainly is not, but you see John 3:16 on placards and billboards, and when I pick up my son Daniel, I sometimes will go through DeLand, and when I turn a corner, I see people out there with megaphones and signs with John 3:16 and placards and all of that, and I can't hear them, you know. I got my car going, got Sean Hannity on, so I can't really hear them. But I appreciate at least that they're willing to stand out there, even if they just wear a sign that says John 3:16. But sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. Now, I'll give you a good example. A man meets a woman and maybe start on a dinner date. And he tells her at dinner, he looks at her and he said, "I really like you." And she says, "I like you too." And then a few weeks later, he says, "I love you." And she said, "I love you too." That's how it happened with me too. And then a few months go by, and he gets on his knee, and he has this diamond ring, and he said, "Will you marry me?" And so 6 months later, they're married, and then a little time goes by, and you know what he tells her? One morning he said, "You know, I'm tired of eating your burnt toast." She says, "You ought to be thankful I even made you some toast, because people are starving to death in Uganda, and they would love to have that burnt toast." And he says, "Well, from the meals that you've been cooking lately, I'd be better off in Uganda." And she says, "Well, if you love Uganda so much, why don't you move there?" And so, yes, familiarity often breeds contempt, and so it might be for this great scripture of John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world. And today we want to think about this fourth message, and that is this amazing love is extensive in its invitation. God so loved the world that he gave, that whosoever will believe will be saved and have eternal life. Now, I have some friends that say that we should never tell people that God loves them. And I don't know what all to think about that, but there might be some validity to that, because if you were to walk up to the average man, a non-Christian, a lost man, if you were to walk up to an average person on the road and you said, "Hey, God loves you," how do you think they'd respond? Most of them, now here's the fact, most would say, "Well, if he loves everybody, why did he allow those Hamas terrorists to kill and rape and torture 1,400 Jews? If God loved everyone, why did he allow that?" That's what they'd say. Why did he let my husband die in a car wreck? You know? Or how could a loving God judge people for their sin and even send them to a place called hell? If God's love, that's how people would respond. I have no doubt. But we can say for sure that God does love people. We know that. He loves the world. Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "Love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." So, yes, God loves people, even those who he calls the unkind and even evil. God has a love for them. I don't understand all of it, I do know that God has a very special love for His people, for those that believe in Christ. But God so loved that He gave. So we have already seen how this love is expensive in its sacrifice. God gave His only begotten Son. And we have seen that His love goes into action, is God. God is love. And so now we want to see God so loved the world that whosoever will believe will be saved and have eternal life. So we want to talk about God's invitation. And I believe it's an invitation of amazing love. Because God loves people, He invites them to Jesus. He invites them to be saved. So here's a wonderful invitation. But did you know that this is also an invitation that is really imperative? God commands all men everywhere to repent. The Bible says that in Acts chapter 17, that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's a command of God because He has appointed a day of judgment. And so God loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. Now, as I've done in these other messages, we've turned to corollary scriptures, and I've done the same today, and I want to read from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. So if you have your copy of God's Word, you can turn with me there. The prophet Isaiah chapter 55. This, in the heading in my King James Bible, it says God's invitation. That's the heading, the invitation. And God gives an invitation. And you see that immediately here in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. And He said, "Ho, everyone that is thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." So here's an invitation. God says, come. If you have a need, God says, knows your greatest need. And your greatest need is salvation. All other needs are subservient to that one great need in your life. That's your greatest need. You may not think so, but from a standpoint of eternity, it is so. And we can sincerely, I believe, invite anyone to come to Jesus Christ. Revelation 22, one of the last invitation that God gives in the Bible is Revelation 22, where it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Now, Brother Sled, do you believe that whosoever will may come? Absolutely. Whosoever will. But who are the whosoever wills? I tell you who they are. They're the people that thirst. I mean, if you're thirsty enough, you'll come. If you're not thirsty, if you're satisfied with all your life is, you want to continue to live your life the way you're living it, then you're not going to come. But the invitation is for those who thirst. And they can come, and they can come in faith. And he mentions here, come ye by. He said, if you're thirsty, you come to the water. You may not have any money, but you can come to Jesus. You're invited to Him. And the water here is symbolic of the blessed Holy Spirit. So he said, come drink water. And he mentions milk and wine also here in verse 1. Good to have milk. I believe in wine and the Lord's Supper. But what he said is, verse 2, he said, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? That's a good question. and your labor for that which satisfies not, hearken diligently unto me, and eat your that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in his fatness. We spend our money a lot of times on useless things. Useless things. I get these magazines this time of year from these companies that sell trinkets and innovative things that I look through it. It takes me 5 minutes and I throw it away. I'm not spending my money on those foolish things. And then there are people that spend their money on sin. They think that's going to satisfy them, so they'll spend their hard-earned money on sin and gamble it away at some gambling table or useless things, or spending it on that which is not bread. And then they wonder why they're broke, and they wonder why they're so unhappy, and they wonder why they're so miserable. You're investing in the wrong things, my friend. Now, what about a person with faith? Well, you must thirst and hunger for Christ. And that can only be effectuated by, I believe, the Holy Spirit. So whosoever will, whosoever is thirsty. Are you thirsty for God? Do you want God in your life? Well, if you do, it's probably an indication that the Spirit of God is doing something in you. He's doing some work in you. And maybe you are one of those whosoever wills. Well, you say, Pastor, I thought that everybody could have faith in God. But let me say this, that salvation faith, whosoever will faith, is not inherent in man's nature. That man doesn't have it. It's like the brother sang the song. We couldn't come to him. He came to us. Jesus said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. That's not in our nature. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have faith in other things. I mean, every person has, by human nature, the ability to have faith in the matters of life and of the world. I get in airplanes all the time. And I have faith in the pilot and co-pilot that they're going to be able to fly that aircraft. I have faith in the maintenance of that aircraft. I get in there and I sit down. I have faith when I get into my car. It takes faith to drive. And I must say, if I'm deficient in any faith, it's in other drivers out on the road. And you have to have faith to eat at the restaurant. You ever thought about that? I know you probably don't think about that, though. When you go down here to the restaurant, the steakhouse, wherever you're going to go, and you walk in there and you order a plate of food, you just don't even think. But do you have faith to eat that stuff? You don't know. I wonder how many times that cook in there has pulled out that steak and dropped it on the floor and just picked it back up and say, brush it off and put it on the grill. I've done that before, believe it or not. I used to work at a steakhouse. I did that all the time. I'd go in there and take them out of that freezer, you know, and one couple of them would fall down and say, oh, let's brush that thing off, run a little water over it. They won't know the difference. Had one customer one time says, my steak tastes a little gritty. I said, I'll fix you another one if you want. We have faith in the matters of life. But here's an invitation to one who thirsts and one who has a hungry heart. Jesus said, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And Jesus, listen, Jesus said, all that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus never turned away a hungry and thirsty soul. That's his invitation. He's sincere in that invitation. He will never turn a sinner away who wants him. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. You can be saved right now if you come to Jesus. In repentance and faith, you can be saved now. John Bunyan gave a soliloquy of that scripture when it, in John 6:37, when it says, "To him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." And the soliloquy went like this: "But I'm a great sinner. I will no wise cast you out. But I'm a hard-hearted person. I will in no wise cast you out. But I have served Satan all my life. I have sinned against mercy." Jesus said, "I will in no wise cast you out. But I have nothing to bring with me. I'm broke. I have no money." Jesus said, "I will not cast you out. I will not turn you away." And when Jesus says in no wise cast out, I'm going to tell you, that overcomes any and every objection to coming to Christ. There's no reason, listen, there's no reason for any of you to stay unsaved. No reason for it. The only reason that you're still unsaved is that you refuse to obey God. You refuse to obey the gospel, and it's because you're content with your life. You do not thirst and hunger. But I'm praying that God would create in you such an insatiable thirst for salvation and eternal life that you could never say no, that you would heed this invitation. And so this is an invitation for those that are thirsty, an invitation for those that are hungry. They have become dissatisfied with what the world has offered them. I mean, are you really satisfied with the world? Well, we live here. We live in this world. There's so many things to do. And some of them are not so good. You know, some of them are very sinful. Some of them can be very harmful to me. But if you haven't figured it out already, we know by experience that the Bible says that all flesh is grass and the glory of man is the flower of grass, which soon withers and falls away. It's only the word of the Lord that endures forever, by which this gospel is preached unto you. Oh, this, here's an invitation for a thirsty soul, an invitation for a hungry heart. But this is an invitation, I believe this invitation is a sweet sound of mercy. Again, in Isaiah 55 and verse 3, what does he tell them to do? He said, "Incline your ear and come to me. Listen to me," God says. "Open your ear and listen to me. And your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Oh, here's the Lord's promise. Here's the promise of life, and a promise of life everlasting, a promise of salvation. Why would you want to die in your sins? Is it worth it? Oh yes, there's the pleasures of sin for a season, but they only last a little while and generally leave you broke. Not only broken in wallet, but broken in heart. But God promises the sure mercies of David. That's the covenant of God's grace, by the way. Sure mercies of David is his covenant. And God's mercy is the only sure thing that we have. It's the only sure thing we have in the world. And David, King David, even reflected on his own failures. But yet, in spite that he knew he wasn't perfect, he knew he had a lot of failures, yet he had assurance in this covenant of grace. And David said, "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, and this is my salvation, and all my desire, though he make it not to grow." Oh, that we could find rest and contentment in God's word, and God's promises. So this is an invitation to know the Lord. Oh, do you know the Lord? Isaiah is speaking of Jesus who came the first time to die on a cross for sinners and to rise again from the dead and to give this invitation to life. And He is the true witness. Oh, we read that in verse 4. I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. That's Jesus. He's our leader. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee. We have our national leaders. Well, we could preach several hours on them. And, well, I just will say this. They're sinners, just like everyone. And they are at best imperfect men and women. Ah, but we have a perfect leader in Jesus. He's our leader. He is the sinner's Savior, but He's also the Savior of the nations. And the only hope that the nations have is Jesus. And He is coming back. Ah, as 1 Chronicles 22 says, the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee. When's that going to happen? It hadn't happened yet. But it will when Christ comes back and establishes His everlasting kingdom in this world. He shall rule and reign. And the nations shall acknowledge His reign. And they shall come to Him. As Daniel the prophet said in Daniel 7:14, there was given unto Him a dominion, a glory, and a kingdom, and all people and nations and languages shall serve Him. And His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and His kingdom which shall not be destroyed. They don't have enough bombs and missiles and drones to destroy Jesus and His kingdom. He will destroy them all. And let us understand that the Lord is gathering His people from all nations. And they will accept Jesus Christ, and He won't reject them. That's His invitation. He will draw them to Himself. His sheep shall hear His voice and follow Him. I wonder if that's you. Have you accepted God's invitation? Or do you say, I'm not interested? Well, here's an invitation to obey the gospel. As I said, it's not just an invitation, it's an imperative. Oh yes, you're going. We have a Thanksgiving in Mount Dora. And we're going to have, of course, me and my wife and Timothy and Lori and their kids. And even Fawn and Ramir from Washington, D.C. will be flying down, Tina's sister. And we're all going over there for Thanksgiving. Daniel, my son, doesn't mix well with people, but I gave him an imperative. You're going. You're going. And here's an imperative from God. The Bible says, by grace you're saved through faith. Oh, I believe in sovereign grace, but I also believe in man's responsibility. And you are responsible to come to Christ. You are responsible to accept this invitation and to come to Him. Ah, Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you, have you called upon the name of Jesus to save you? You say, Pastor, I don't know if he'll save me or not. If I come to Jesus, well, I just don't know that he'll save me or not. That's your unbelief. Is God's word true or not? What more can he say to you? He has said to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled. What more can God promise you other than what he's said? That if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart and confess him with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That's a sincere invitation. It's for you. Don't disobey. Repent and return unto the Lord. Turn away from your unbelief and believe on Christ as your only Lord and Savior. And it may require you to repent of your religion and false doctrines. And that's a problem that a lot of folks have. They're all messed up in the wrong kind of religion. And they don't know Jesus. But here's an invitation, finally, that I'm going to say brings prosperity to the soul. Notice in our text in Isaiah 55 what the Lord says. Well, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he's near. That's the imperative. You better seek the Lord now. You better not wait. This is imperative. Oh, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. And what does God do if you return to the Lord? It says he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's what the Lord's. He wants to save you. Do you realize that? That our Lord wants you. And he said in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then in verse 10, we see the prosperity. Here's an invitation that brings prosperity to the soul. And he uses the illustration of rain and snow that replenishes the earth. As the rain comes down and snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And I tell you, this invitation, when you receive this invitation from God, and when you come to Jesus for the salvation of your soul, oh, it brings a prosperity of beauty to your life. The rain and snow replenishes the earth that beautiful things may grow. Beautiful flowers and shrubs and trees. I love it. And all those wonderful things that we love. What a great time of year. We have a little bit of change of season here. Not much. But oh, if you go up, have a friend that's from Connecticut. He said you ought to go up there. Wow. And it's beautiful. There's a beauty. Even in the change of seasons. And listen, the grace and presence of Jesus will bring beauty in your life. Beauty and prosperity. Oh, that's what the Lord can do. He can take that, listen, he can take that which is ugly. And oh, I tell you, sin brings ugliness and ruin and devastation. But God can turn that which is ugly into that which is beauty. And there can be a beauty in your life. And it gives you the bread of life to fill your soul. That word prosper means to advance or move forward in life. And maybe that's what you need to do. That which is past is past. And you can't go back and change one thing. I know you'd like to. Wouldn't we all? Maybe if we could go turn the clocks back like we did this morning. I'd turn them all back. But wouldn't it be great if you could turn your life back and start over? Well, you can't do it. What's done is done. But you know what? You can move forward with God today. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. I'm going to tell you something. It's never too late. There may be some of you who say, it's too late for me. Oh, Pastor Sled, I'm too far gone. I don't see any hope. Oh, no. That's why God gave this invitation. Whosoever believeth in Christ shall receive eternal life. That's His promise. And God wouldn't have said it if He didn't mean it. It's true. And I tell you that the Lord Jesus gives us the best life of all. He has so many blessings for His people. I can say with the psalmist that my cup runneth over. Runs over with joy. And I thought about that last Sunday when we all met over at the White House. And I looked at all of you around the tables in fellowship with each other and in joy and smiling and laughing. And I thought, Lord, this is great. This is great. Truly, being a Christian is the greatest thing that can ever happen to anyone to know the Lord. And of course, the last most important matter of all, it brings us the blessed promise of eternal life. And that's why the Lord said that His word that goes out of His mouth. Did you get that? Hey, every word in this Bible is inspired because it goes right out of the mouth of Almighty God and goes through my mouth to you. Wow, that's amazing. And the Word of God's promise is the most prosperous thing of all. God will stay true to His Word. What He has promised, He will do. Now, you know what? This is an encouragement to all of us who preach the Word. Hey, preachers. Hey, missionaries. When you stand up and proclaim the Word of God, it's not a waste. Well, I don't see any results. That's because you can't produce them, friends. Only God can. We're just sowers of the good seed. We're giving out the word. Oh, we're extending the invitation. But as the old saying, you can lead the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. I can lead you to Jesus. But only God can so move in your soul to bring you to that place where you receive Him as your Savior. But what an encouragement to all of us who are witnesses and servants of the Lord to realize that no matter what happens with this, whether the church becomes a mega church or whether it remains a small church, I leave it in God's hands. I can leave the result to the Lord. God's word is true, and God is faithful to the promises that He's given to us, and God honors His invitation to all who will believe in Jesus. And the invitation is for you. And may God seal this invitation to your very heart this morning. But if you've never yet believed in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, may this be that day when you come to Him in repentance and faith, and when you trust your soul into His hands. And I tell you, if you trust in Jesus, He'll receive you, not just for this life, but for forever. Amen and amen. So let us bow as we close.